WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Wednesday morning. And there's a lot we can talk about today. But one of the things I wanted to bring up is the WNBA. Because right now, Massachusetts and Governor Maura Healey is putting a big push toward the Mohegan Tribe. And, well, it would take new ownership, but the Mohegan Tribe owns the Connecticut Sun WNBA team, which plays at Mohegan Sun. And they have been open to possibly selling the team. And there are rumors that current Celtics owner, Steve Pagliuca, is interested in leading a group to acquire the team, or maybe even being the sole owner himself. But basically, when they'd made the decision, the Celtics are selling to someone else and not to Steve Pagliuca's group, who was trying to buy the Celtics outright. So maybe he's going in a different direction. But that's the rumor, is that he's looking to acquire the Sun, and that a move to this area would be in the cards. So Governor Healey has been very vocal about wanting the Sun to move to Boston. I think that there's an automatic assumption that the Sun would play at the TD Garden then, if that's the case, but maybe not. Maybe not, because there's some things that are on the table here. First of all, depending on how much they're going to draw, perhaps it moves to Aganis Arena. I don't know if there's anything going on at Aganis Arena at Northeastern. I don't know if there's anything going on there during the WNBA season that would conflict. But that would be a possibility. There's also the possibility that new Celtics ownership will want to build them their own facility at some point. Because as we've discussed in the past, the Celtics don't own any piece of TD Garden. They rent it. So on a game night, they don't get all the concession money. That all goes to Delaware North, the company that owns the Bruins. Jeremy Jacobs' family, you know, that they're the ones that built the building, and the Celtics just pay rent to be able to play there. So there's long been talk about building their own facility. And then the question became, well, can Boston support two arenas? And, you know, what happens when the Celtics get a state-of-the-art arena and then the Bruins are now playing in a building that's 30 years old? And then, you know, a big concert tour comes into town. They're all going to want to go to the brand new arena. You know, so that there's a lot of behind-the-scenes conversation like that. But apparently, Rhode Island is making a push, too, to get the Connecticut Sun. Although, Governor McKee has been very quiet about it. He won't give too many details, but apparently there was a group of people that were visiting at the AMP, and including PAGS, and that the talk is that might be a landing point for the Connecticut Sun. And I think now the WNBA is getting to the point where people are paying attention to it. It's probably about as popular as it's ever been. Caitlin Clark, part of that. Of course, she got injured in last night's game at TD Garden, but her team still beat the Sun. So I think that helps. I think there'll be more attention paid to this league over the coming years, and it would be a good time for a team to locate in either Providence or Boston. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg.
How you doing?
Good. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. So, Langley Street, you know I was going to call about that, right? You must have.
Mm-hmm.
So, here we have a man. The family's calling the cops. My brother, my cousin, whatever, he's suicidal. He has a gun. He's going to kill himself. So, they break into the house. What looked like a SWAT team to me. Was the guy a wanted mass murdering killer? No. But it looked like how many cops? And he's at the top of the stairs, and he's got the gun. Come on down with your hands. You don't go to someone who is suicidal and do something like that with all so many guns aimed at him. Where was his psychiatrist that got him all pumped up on the drugs that made him even more suicidal in the first place? They don't send an intervention? His doctor, his family.
Well, you don't know that he was on any medications.
The guy has a problem. He must be. You don't know that he's not. I'll just put it like that. So
yeah, but
what gives them the permission to break into that guy? He may never have even killed himself. Maybe he just needed a little more talking, a little more help. That was absolutely horrendous. I saw the video and I couldn't believe my eyes, and I had to watch it again and again. Come down with your hands on that. This guy was already so disturbed in the head. You know, the drugs that people, you know I'm going to get into that. The drugs they give people like that make them worse than they are. And if they aren't suicidal and they just have problems, those medications will make them want to kill themselves.
You're just talking out of your ass, Mary. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. I know how I feel about it. And I have a right to say what I feel. Isn't that where we call you?
You can say what you feel about it, but you're just going to be wrong.
But I'm talking out of my ass now. You don't like what I'm saying.
No, because you're not.
You don't send a SWAT team to us.
How about all the many people that take those medications that have those conditions that are healed by those medications? Maybe some people just have it so bad that the medication doesn't help enough.
You're right. There are some people that, but there is no science. A lab anywhere that knows exactly what these drugs do to people. They give them to kids now.
Okay. Well, hold on. Go get your PhD and then come back and talk about medications. Let's get off the medication part of it. And
I know you don't like that. Are you on any? Is that why you're so upset about it?
No, but I also don't pretend to be a doctor like you do.
Where do they even get permission to go into that? Do they have to go and get a warrant to go in there?
No, when the family called them and said that he was going to harm himself, that gives them the probable cause they need to enter the home, according to the police.
That gives them the cost to go in there and do the killing for him and kill him. That was stupid.
He fired at the police. That's why they shot him. He fired at the police.
Yeah, a man that's disturbed and they're going to go and yelling and screaming.
Well, he fired at the police.
Do you know how many cops went in there? Because it did look like a SWAT team to me.
It was the Emergency Services Unit is what they call it. I don't know how many people went in. I would say it looked like there were maybe four that I could see on the video, but you don't know how many were behind the video, behind the body camera either.
I believe there were more than that. Yeah. I believe there were more than that. But they're going yelling at someone who's already disturbed. It's like they were attacking him. Come on. They just did not have the right to pull it off the way they did. It was stupid, unnecessary. Call the guy's doctor, get a third party over there, somebody that knows the guy, has been talking to him in a doctor's office that pumped him up with those drugs. Yeah, maybe not needed, Mr. White.
Do you think an hour of him not responding to their attempts at communication was enough?
Listen, if the guy was going to kill himself, he's going to probably do it and maybe do it another day or maybe do this, maybe jump off a bridge. There's only so much you can do, but to go in the way they did is what I'm complaining about. That was wrong what they did. A guy that's suicidal, they're going and yelling at him? Come down the stairs, put your hands up. You don't do that. That's not the kind of conversation he needs. They didn't have to send so many cops over there. Where was his family? Why didn't they go in with the cops?
They brought a crisis negotiator to the scene. He didn't want to talk to the crisis negotiator.
Well, it was the crisis negotiator, his job to keep right on talking. Just because a patient talks to you like that, you're just going to turn around and walk out? So much help you get from your doctor or whoever it was?
What if he didn't have a doctor? He might not have a doctor. He might not have been on any medications. He might not have been diagnosed.
The guy may never have killed himself. They challenged him. And so, of course, he's going to get more distraught and start shooting.
Maybe that was his plan all along. Maybe he wanted the cops to shoot him.
Maybe that's what he wanted. So you give him what he wants? Is that what you do? A man who's not well in the head? I blame a lot of doctors for these meds. I don't care how what you say. Maybe it wouldn't have changed anything for this guy, but the doctors are even medicating teenagers and kids who end up turning around, killing their grandparents, robbing banks, shooting presidents. You need to face that. It's a fact, Mr. Weisberg. Don't put it aside. Drugs are making people crazy. And I hope you're not on any. Have a good day. Thank you.
I think you prove people can be crazy without drugs, too.
That's true, too. I agree.
I'm just teasing you, Mary.
Yes, I know that. And you have a right to your opinion, too. And that's why I'm just saying these things that I'm telling you, which you're saying I shouldn't be talking about the meds. I'm sorry. I need to scream louder.
But the thing, we don't even know if he was on any. That's the thing is we're just making the assumptions that he was. This might have, for all we know, this could have been the first time that he had one of these types of episodes.
Okay. Well, I'm sure more of that story is going to come out, whether or not he had a doctor or whether he's whatever you said just then. But and that other thing before I hang up, I hope that Mr. Chris McCarthy goes to that meeting and says everything he says on the radio because it's perfect. He needs to go there and do it. Let him have it. I'll be waiting. I want to hear that.
Well, I'm sure he'll address today on his show whether or not he plans on doing that. I don't want to speak for him, but
nobody can say those things better than he does. So he has to go there. I can't wait when he gets there.
Well, you know who can say it better than he does is the counselors themselves in their own words, because that's what he's using. That's what his argument is. He's using their own comments.
For them to have extra money. Aren't they getting a pension? Do they get Social Security? How does that work? They get the two of them?
So they will get a pension if they have enough service time, yeah.
Okay, and on top of that, do they get Social Security or is that their security? Is that what they got?
I don't know. I guess that I don't know that that makes a difference in their council pay because, you know, it's a part-time position and all of that. So I don't know how that figures into Social Security. But I'm sure many of them are paying in from their regular jobs as well. So,
And so on top of that, they want this extra all the time. When they didn't always do everything perfectly. Nobody's perfect, but come on, there's a lot of things people never liked about them.
Before I
hang up, I can squeeze in one more sentence. I know you have more to say. You can say that to hang up because I'm taking too much time.
Well, I don't think that everybody on the council wants that. Even I don't think everybody supports the idea of it.
I know that. Yeah, and my last sentence I want it to be: if you do feel that you have to kill yourself. And your family has to go through that to see that you've done it. It is better that you're killed by yourself than the freaking cops. Because that was the wrong way to go in the way they did it. Can you at least admit that that was the wrong way? Yelling and screaming at a man that's already disturbed?
I mean, I question if an hour was enough time. I feel like I don't know what the rationale was with an hour of being... I know that they were worried about some of the other people that were in the area, but they evacuated them all out. So at this point, the only person he's going to harm is himself.
There's more to it, and I want to hear the part of the story where, well, he was getting help, and he's been to doctors and all. The doctors gave him the medicines that made him worse. Even if you have to send him to a group meeting every day with other suicidal people, then he has to go every freaking day. A big intervention, not sending cops breaking into your home and... yelling at you to come down the stairs. No, that man's dead today because of those cops. He's not dead because of himself at all.
Well, he fired at the police. I mean, he didn't have to do that either. But the
look what they were doing. Look what they did. Just screamed at you. Nobody does that. When you go to your doctor,
if a cop yells at me, I'm not going to shoot them. The other thing I was going to say, though, is that there will be an investigation because it was an officer-involved shooting. So the district attorney's office is investigating it.
I hope so. And also at that Gabriel's house. That was the worst I've ever seen. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You as well. And let's take another call here before I got to go to the break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Yeah, are you talking about the guy that was shot by the cops?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he shot up the cop, right?
He did fire, yes.
You shoot a cop, so you shoot a cop. They're going to kill you.
Well,
that's how they work.
I mean, I think that, you know, he made that choice. He made the choice to fire. So no matter what led to them getting into the house, you know, whether they waited enough time or what have you, he still was the one that fired. So I think ultimately that's how it's going to justify the actions of the officers.
And as far as mental health goes, you should look into that, Tim. There is a lot of shortage in the area with mental health resources.
Oh, no doubt. I know that. I know that's the case for sure.
You should do an interview with somebody on that. I mean, you know, a lot of people aren't getting help. They're out in the streets talking to themselves and all that crazy stuff.
Yeah, it comes up quite a bit in our Tuesday segments, our South Coast Health Community Spotlight. A lot of the organizations that we talk to are trying to help with curbing some of that. You know, the lack of those resources, you know, they might not be therapists, but they're trying to help those people, because there is a lack of therapists and a lack of available appointments and a lack of, funding for the people who do need the help. Some of them can't afford to go.
Yeah. Massachusetts used to have good resources with mental health until Mr. Mitt Romney came storming through, and then Deval Patrick and all, they chopped the mental health resources, especially DMH. I know it's sad and it's unfortunate. And, you know, people point fingers and say, look at that drunk, or look at that drug addict. They're relieving themselves from symptoms of mental illness. I'm not saying all of them, but they're relieving themselves from symptoms of mental illness with alcohol and drugs.
Mm-hmm. Or some of the people that you think are on alcohol and drugs aren't, and they're just exactly having mental health struggles.
That just goes to show you how ignorant some people are. But as far as the guy shooting at the car, if he shot at the car, of course they're going to shoot back.
All right. You have a good day.
You too, sir. Bye-bye.
I got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. Stay tuned. Yo, it's about that time to go into the newsroom and get an update from Mike Roberts. Sorry, I couldn't rhyme it. But yeah, let's go to Mike Roberts.
Pam Bondi brushing off questions about Jeffrey Epstein, President Trump sending out more tariff letters, and the National Guard set to leave Los Angeles.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Attorney General Pam Bondi brushing off questions about Jeffrey Epstein.
Nothing about Epstein. I'm not going to talk about Epstein.
Bondi spoke at a news conference yesterday saying the focus was on fentanyl overdoses and families who have lost loved ones to the drug. Bondi's been on the defensive since the Justice Department announced it would not release any more information about the case. Florida health officials are reporting 4 deaths this year from a rare but dangerous flesh-eating bacteria found in a mixture of warm seawater and river water and water with raw seafood. Officials say the bacteria can infect open wounds or be contracted through undercooked shellfish. The state has confirmed 11 cases so far in 2025, and while infections are uncommon, they can become life-threatening if not treated quickly. Last year, the Tampa Bay area saw a spike in cases following Hurricane Helene. President Trump says more letters are going out to countries announcing that tariffs are going into effect soon unless trade deals are struck. Trump told reporters at Joint Base Andrews that he'll probably have a flat 10% tariff for countries.
Don't forget, we'll be releasing a letter soon talking about many countries that are much smaller.
2,000 California National Guard members that were deployed to Los Angeles last month have been recalled. The Pentagon made the announcement yesterday with Chief Pentagon spokesman Sean Parnell saying in a statement that the lawlessness in Los Angeles is subsiding. The troops were deployed to protect federal buildings and personnel following protests against ICE operations in L.A. Medical debt will remain on credit reports after a federal judge vacated a Biden-era rule.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau rule would have removed the debt. However, the judge found that the rule exceeded the Bureau's authority under the Fair Credit Reporting Act. An estimated $49 billion in medical bills would have been removed from the credit reports of about 15 million people. It would have also banned lenders from using certain medical information in loan decisions. I'm Matt Mattinson.
A House hearing on the future of weather forecasting could get heated today. The hearing is billed an examination of how new technologies can improve weather data collection and forecasting accuracy to save lives. But the deadly flash flooding in Texas has some Democrats asking if cuts to the National Weather Service hurt early warning capabilities. Los Angeles 2028 Olympics organizers are releasing its schedule of events.
When the Olympics begin on July 14th, 2028, they'll begin with track and field instead of swimming, which has been the tradition. That will ensure there's enough time to build an indoor pool after the opening ceremony at SoFi Stadium. There are a number of events that kick off 2 days before the opening ceremony, including soccer, basketball, cricket, field hockey, handball, rugby, and water polo. That's the largest number of sports to start before the opening ceremony since the 1920 games in Belgium. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
The Connecticut Sun might be moving to Providence. Multiple reports say a new owner is considering buying the Sun and moving the WNBA franchise to Providence. Governor Dan McKee recently led a meeting and tour of the Amica Mutual Pavilion. The Connecticut Sun, currently owned by the Mohican Tribe, which purchased the franchise in 2003 and moved the team from Orlando. Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever beat the Connecticut Sun at TD Garden last night, 85-77. The 2025 All-Star Game was played in Atlanta last night. National League and the American League were tied 6-6 after nine innings. The game went into a home run derby-style swing-off where the National League pulled through to win. The Red Sox will be back in action taking on the Cubs in Chicago on Friday afternoon.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Good morning. We're waking up to temperatures in the low and mid-70s. A mild morning, even warm here for the South Coast. And as we move into the afternoon, warm is not even going to cut it. We have to call it just plain hot because that's what it's going to be today, with temperatures in the low 80s for the coast. But as soon as you head inland, it's going to build and build, and we get to the mid and upper 80s by the afternoon. With the humidity and the sun angle, it'll feel like we are in the mid to upper 90s by this afternoon. That's why we still have that heat advisory in effect. That's going to last, by the way, till Thursday at 7 p.m. So keep that in mind, plan accordingly, and don't forget to drink plenty of water. Really important to hydrate on days like this. Now, we're also looking out for the potential of a pop-up shower this afternoon, but chances are pretty slim. Most of the day stays dry, relatively sunny, and again, just super hot. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right, welcome back in, and we'll take more calls coming up, 508-996-0500, including talking about a story that's going around the paranormal world that everybody's been sending me. We'll address that coming up as well. But speaking of paranormal, right now it is time for...
The Gen X Files.
And let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. Celebrity birthdays. The Lord of the Dance, Michael Flatley, turned 67. Every boy's 80s crush after watching Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Phoebe Cates, is 62. Stay classy, Will Ferrell, the Anchorman star and comedy superstar, turns 58 today. NFL Hall of Fame running back Barry Sanders is 57. And the star of films like The Goonies, The Lost Boys, and License to Drive, actor and quote-unquote musician Corey Feldman, is 54. J.D. Salinger's only full-length novel, The Catcher in the Rye, was published by Little Brown on this date in 1951. The book about a confused teenager disillusioned by the adult world was an instant hit and was taught to kids in high schools for decades and read by almost every Gen X kid. On July 16, 1974, in TV's first live suicide, news presenter Christine Chubbuck, during her TV broadcast, suddenly stopped reading the teleprompter and said, "In keeping with Channel 40's policy of bringing you the latest in blood and guts and in living color, you're going to see another first, an attempted suicide." She then shot herself in the head and died about 14 hours later. In 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr., his wife Carolyn, and her sister Lauren Bassett died when the Piper Saratoga PA-32R aircraft he was piloting crashed into the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Martha's Vineyard. July 16, 1995, rapper Queen Latifah was the victim of a carjacking attempt that went wrong, leaving her bodyguard shot and wounded. On this date in 2000, Matchbox 20 went to number one on the U.S. singles chart with Bent. The single was taken from their second album, Mad Season. And on July 16, 2007, Detroit alt-rock duo The White Stripes entered the record books by playing the shortest ever live gig when they appeared at a Newfoundland venue called George Street during a Canadian tour. They played just a single note with a cymbal crash before exiting the stage. The concert was recognized by the Guinness Book of World Records in 2009, but the book's compilers dropped the category a year later after being swamped by applications for similar record-breaking attempts. That's the Gen X Files for July 16th, 2025, brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven, home of the Porch Sampler, where all month long they're celebrating National Ice Cream Month with special days all through July. You can follow them on Instagram and Facebook for more information and stop by and try flavors like Robusto, chocolate peanut butter swirl, and all-American cheesecake. All right. Well, 508-996-0500 is the number to call in and chime in. App chats, if you want to text on the WBSM app. Open line voicemails, if you want to record your voice on the WBSM app. In the next hour, we're going to be joined after the news by Kelly from Stevie's Wine and Spirits to talk about their big summer tasting that's happening on Saturday from 1 to 4. But also, of course, you know, Stevie's Wine and Spirits sponsors all of our ticket giveaways here on the morning show. And this week, we are giving away tickets to see Linkin Park at TD Garden. This week, we're giving away tickets for Thursday, July 31st. And you can enter at WBSM.com and the WBSM app. You just got to put in your information, and that gets you entered to win. And then, you know, we randomly select names. And then you will hear from Casey if you are a winner. And then next week, we're going to be giving away tickets to Linkin Park on August 1st. At TD Garden. So plenty of chances to win if you want to get in to see Linkin Park on their return to the stage. So I was mentioning before the Gen X Files that there's a story going on in the paranormal world. Very sad story. So there's a gentleman named Dan Rivera, who was a longtime paranormal researcher, investigator, a person who helped put on events. And he was close with Lorraine Warren. If you are familiar with Ed and Lorraine Warren, they were the paranormal investigators who the Conjuring films were based on their, and loosely based on their case files. And of course, one of the most famous Ed and Lorraine Warren stories, it's addressed at the beginning of the Conjuring film and then had its own spinoff. But they had Annabelle the doll. This doll was a Raggedy Ann doll. So the one that's in the movie looks the way it looks because they couldn't get the rights to use Raggedy Ann for the movie. The people that own the rights to Raggedy Ann would not give them the permission to use that in a horror film and turn it into an evil thing because, you know, to this day, little kids are still playing with Raggedy Ann and Andy dolls. But that's what the original Annabelle the doll was, a giant Raggedy Ann. And supposedly this doll caused havoc with the young women that it resided with. They were a group of nurses. And so they gave it to Ed and Lorraine Warren, who had a garage full of haunted items. And apparently this doll was said to be so dangerous, they kept it under glass in a case with a note on it that said, "Positively do not open." And so for many years, you know, Annabelle became kind of the rock star of their museum that they opened in their garage. So you can go to their home in Monroe, Connecticut, and you could tour the garage, and, you know, you just couldn't open the Annabelle case because it was so dangerous. Well, years later, Ghost Adventures did an episode where Zach Bagans took Annabelle out of the case. Now, people have tried to say that that led to some curse on Ghost Adventures. And if you're not familiar with what's been going on with Ghost Adventures in recent months, one of the stars of the show, Aaron Goodwin, his wife hired somebody to kill him. Thankfully, not successful, but she's going to jail. She's gone to jail for allegedly hiring somebody to, well, I shouldn't say allegedly, she was convicted for hiring somebody to kill her husband. And that's just one of the things that people point to as this curse ever since Zach opened the doll. Then when Lorraine Warren passed away, so Ed Warren passed away many years ago. Actually, we came in and recorded a special episode of Spooky South Coast that night with his nephew, John Zaffis. But Ed passed away in 2007, I believe, but he had been sick for a long time before that. Lorraine passed away a few years ago, and upon her death, her son-in-law, Tony Spera, kind of took over everything Warren. They now do an annual Warren Paranormal Convention, and as part of that, they were bringing Annabelle to this event. And now they've started a tour where they're bringing Annabelle to other haunted locations for people to come and see her and take photos, and they give a presentation and all that. And in fact, they did it at the Narrows Center in Fall River. So this gentleman who passed away was part of that organization. I think it's New England Paranormal Association or something. So they're the group that Tony Spera is part of, New England Paranormal Research, sorry. And so they are taking this doll out on tour, and Dan Rivera was one of the people that helped with that. He was kind of the handler of the doll. And so this past weekend, they brought the doll to an event in Gettysburg. And I guess while staying in the hotel in Gettysburg, Dan suffered some kind of medical emergency. And he passed away. And now the stories in the media, TMZ has it, the New York Post has it, the Evening Sun down in Pennsylvania wrote a very sensationalized story. There's all this coverage, and people keep sending me more and more stories. All this coverage is trying to insinuate that the Annabelle doll was somehow responsible for Dan Rivera's death. First of all, I mean, listen, I wrote a book called Haunted Objects, okay? I believe in the idea that there can be things attached to these items. I don't think that this Annabelle doll is as evil and cursed as people make it out to be. I think this was just a tragic circumstance that happened where a young man was experiencing some kind of medical emergency and died. And I don't know who decided to start making the correlation of it being the doll. I don't know if it was somebody, you know, in the media. But it's kind of gross the way people are doing it. You know, the same thing happened with somebody that I know who, you know, I guess I can just say it because it's out there in the news, but Chris Balzano, who used to be the content director for Spooky South Coast, and as you know, is in the Bridgewater Triangle documentary and wrote books about the Bridgewater Triangle, he had an incident years ago where he was driving to work. He's a school teacher, driving to work early in the morning and going down this, like, highway that he traveled every day, and someone stepped out in front of his car intentionally. There was somebody who wanted to take their own life, and so they stepped out in front of his car, and he struck them and killed them and was very distraught over it. You know, no fault of his at all. Nothing he could have done. You know, he was completely cleared by the authorities, and, you know, they didn't charge him with anything. It was this person just stepped in front of his car on purpose. in order to die. But the local media down there started researching Chris, and of course it comes up that he is a paranormal investigator and a paranormal researcher, and he's written books about ghosts. And so that becomes, you know, the headline of the story. You know, local ghost hunter involved in highway death. And it was sad that they thought to focus on that, but they knew that that would get people's attention. And I think that that's what they're trying to do with this story with Dan Rivera. They're trying to make that correlation because, and it's bad enough that people in the comments of the story are going to do that anyway. So I think, you know, I appreciate everybody sending me the story, and I just don't want to give any credence to what these outlets are writing because it's just sensationalizing a person's unfortunate passing. 508-996-0500. Got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. All right, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Oh, I don't like that kind of weather. It's too hot.
I agree.
Hey, listen, what was you talking about? Because I was just tuning in. A cop got shot. Is that in New Bedford?
No, in Fall River, there was a person who was going through some mental health problems, and so the police were called because the man was threatening to kill himself, and they arrived, and then after about an hour of not being able to communicate with him, they broke into the house, and then he ended up firing on the police. They fired back, and he was killed.
Now that was today?
Yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. Yesterday, or very, very early yesterday, like 1 o'clock and 1:30 in the morning yesterday.
Oh, and I got to ask you a couple of other questions. What do you make of that national news where the American Idol couple got killed? What do you think of that?
I didn't hear about that.
Oh, yeah. Somebody was in their house when they arrived. That's what I heard last night on the news, national news. And the guy killed both of them.
They don't
know what the motive was, and they don't know if he knew them.
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah. Anyways, how old was you when you started getting into this paranormal stuff?
Well, I had experiences all my life, but when I was probably about 11 or 12, my aunt and uncle bought a haunted house in Halifax. And then after that, I started having experiences when I went over there. So that made me look into it more. But then I didn't really start researching it until about 2004 or so.
Yeah, but what was the big the thing they called haunted in that house? Yeah,
they had some kind of ghost in there that was that would turn on faucets and flicker lights, and one time it made the cellar bulkhead doors open and close. I saw that with my own eyes.
Yeah, because I don't believe in none of that.
Yeah, I mean, I always say to people, if you don't believe in it, that's totally fine. But sometimes you have to have an experience to become a believer. And I always say, even if you don't believe in the paranormal believes in you.
Yeah, but sometimes you just imagine that stuff, and you can imagine it so much that it makes your eyes think you're seeing it.
In some cases, sure, but a lot of the things that have happened personally to me over the years, I know were not imagined, is because usually they happen with multiple other people in the room, too.
I've got an intuition sometime. That's all that's really real, but that's just the only thing.
Yeah, I think everybody's probably had little brushes of the paranormal now and then, just, you know, how much they want to invest in it. So things like intuition, things like, you know, deja vu is what we call a time slip. So things like that.
I've just experienced intuition. But is intuition kind of like a gut feeling too?
Yep, same idea.
Yeah, same idea. Well, yesterday I should have went with my gut feeling, but I didn't, and I lost out on $1,000 on winning.
Oh, no. Well, see, always trust your gut.
No, I know, but it was just, you know, you don't want to bother the person because they think you're, you know, they say you're a pain. You keep asking them. It was Keno. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that just means you got a bigger one coming your way.
Hope so.
All right, I gotta hold you there because I gotta take my final break. But good luck with that, and have a great day.
Stay cool.
You too. All right, we gotta take this break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. And we're going to be going into the news in just a moment. But remember, this year marks the 50th anniversary of Cape Verdean independence from Portugal. And WBSM is shining a spotlight all month long on the history, culture, and people of Cape Verde. So you can join me each Thursday in July as we have conversations with Cape Verdean leaders in the New Bedford and South Coast community, discussing everything from music and dance to politics and education. And Cape Verdean Heritage Month on WBSM is brought to you by...